There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fald, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 565, March 29th, 2012. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. No, wait. Google Ads.
Google Ads.
Google Ads. Click on them. You know you want to. They give you all those good things.
Yeah, click. Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, bravo, bravo, bravo. I get to say it again, Steve. Bravo, 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 Fernando.
Didn't think you could get a chance to say it this year, did you?
No, I didn't. How long will Ferrari put up with Felipe Massa? Nahrain Karthikeyan calls Vettel a crybaby. And Sebastian Vettel using different fingers in 2012. And, of course, we have an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Wonderful. What a great race. Excitement. The only thing that was missing was the Haagen-Dazs cart at Lotus. Everything
Did you hear what he did?
Talk to me, Steven.
He bought ice cream for the press corps.
Of course.
That was too hilarious. I love that.
See, Kimmy, you know, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a hipster. So, no, fantastic race. I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I could have done without the 1 hour rain delay, but...
Well, you know, and what I don't like, and I start seeing some of this, is some of the drivers manipulating Charlie Whiting's decision. By saying...
Oh, yeah.
It's a leak in Sector 4, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, because they know Charlie's listening to all this.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't take a chance, safety-wise, because to be honest with you, I thought it was a bit premature to red flag the race, but then the lightning came, and I guess that's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, and I would actually rather see them red flag the race than see them run behind the safety car for a prolonged period of time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean...
Because that year, that first year back at Fuji was ridiculous. It ran the first half of the race.
And the laps are counting down, and all of a sudden you realize you've lost half of your race to the safety car.
Yeah, and it's just... Ugh.
No, I agree. And how long was the delay? Maybe 36 to 40 minutes?
I think it was a total of an hour.
Yeah. But anyway, quickly summarize qualifying. Once again... Grosjean does a great job in qualifying. Both Lotuses do an outstanding job, of course.
Yep.
Kimi Raikkonen has a gearbox change, so therefore...
It kicks him back five, but he was still in the top 10.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which was really nice. Again, the McLarens looking really racy. And also, the Mercedes qualifying well.
They do qualify
Question
well.
Question is, can they bring it to the race?
No. They've got serious issues to work out.
Makes you wonder how effective their little F duct is. It's fine and dandy when you can open up the DRS anywhere you want. It's going to buy you something, but in the race, it really provides them almost nothing.
Well, the worst part is the car is brutal on tires. The car is not very good on the tires.
No, and if you look at it. Who ends up faster in the speed trap anyway?
It's usually a Toro Rosso.
No, it was the Lotuses.
Yeah, but that's because Kimi's excited.
And
he's throwing a little Finlandia in the tank. But no,
spiking the fuel supply.
Very impressive qualifying. The Force Indias look great all weekend long.
Williams run racy.
Williams, the Renault package is obviously paying off. And the big news, HRT qualifies for the race, Steve.
Yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised. And I think that they may have been benefited by it being more of a race circuit than the street course, so they weren't basically penalized for not having much downforce.
And they do contribute to lots of laughs.
Oh, they do get involved.
It's wonderful stuff. And I was very impressed with Schumacher's third spot in qualifying. Very impressive. It's almost like he's finally getting it together. It just takes a few years. Unlike Kimi, who just gets in and bang, he's there.
I think part of that's him, part of that's the car. It was Mercedes came in, basically bought up Braun because they wanted to buy a winner. The problem is that Braun didn't have any money to develop their car past that season.
Yeah, so there was no other car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was no next year.
But let's go to the race, and we know the rain is coming. Everybody is on intermediates.
And then the question starts to become, especially in Malaysia, is how wet is it going to get? Is this just going to dampen the track? Is it going to just keep the track damp? Or are we going to get to a point where we're going to full wets because the intermediates can't push that much water out of the way?
Correct. They don't. But still, I was pretty happy that it was going to start spritzing.
Yeah. Races, especially in modern Formula One, are so much more interesting when there's water because it really shakes up the field. It's weird. It can sink the good teams and float the not so good teams.
Well, not only that, but it was obviously it was another 1-2 for McLaren, locking out the front row. And the last thing I wanted to watch Button and Hamilton dominate this race and not have the excitement that we deserve. Great start. As we said, the rain starts coming down, and it's worse on one side of the track, I believe Sector 3, than it is at the start-finish line.
Yeah, it's always weird. It's kind of strange in Malaysia the last couple of years because it's like one side of the track is just getting pounded, and then the other side of the track is a light drizzle.
It's a spa recipe. It is. A great start. And once again, Romain Grosjean gets in trouble. Steven, what is this guy's problem?
You know, I don't know. At this point in time, I'd say he's got some horrible luck. Because basically, that's two races in a row. He's out in the first three laps. It's like, dude, come on.
I know.
You're qualifying well.
Out-qualifying his teammate. He's doing his job. But apparently, he's, maybe he's not holding back. He's trying too hard. I'm not sure. But it's very depressing for the Lotus fans.
Yeah. He mixes it up a little bit with Michael Schumacher. Both of them spin, and he definitely gets the worst of it because Michael's able to continue.
And Michael loses a lot of places, and another sad qualifying position goes
right out the window. Hell. Exactly, right out the window.
No, that was very, very sad. Great start for Lewis Hamilton, who takes the lead. Clean fight with Jenson Button. But this time, Lewis Hamilton got it right, and it was an outstanding start.
Yeah, the first turn in Malaysia can be really dicey because you can kind of play it you can take the outside on the first one and then get the inside of the second one, or you can get the inside of the first one and get the outside on the second one, and it's kind of a coin flip as to whether or not
I think the best way is to take the outside
on turn one. So
then you wind up on the inside going into the second corner.
Because you can kind of take that line. And that's how most of
the passing was done.
Exactly.
But still, Kimi Raikkonen, not a bad start. Everybody did well. I was very impressed with Bruno Senna's race, even though he didn't have a great start. Heikki Kovalainen had a fantastic start. Very impressive. But really, the two casualties at the beginning of the race were Grosjean and Schumacher.
Yep.
And the rain begins to get a little heavier. Both Saubers have a pretty good start as well.
Yeah.
Kamui Kobayashi gets like eight places.
Yeah. It's strange sometimes. That kid, I don't know what it is, but every once in a while it's like he's brilliant. And then other times, he pulls a Sato and does something really.
So obviously the rain is getting heavier. And it's time to make a decision, Stephen, about full wet tires.
Exactly. Is it getting wet enough?
Not only that, but these are Pirelli full wets. We don't know that much about them.
We don't know that much about the
intermediates as well.
Exactly.
The person that does pull into the pits first is Sergio Perez for Sauber. I thought that was a great, great decision right off the bat.
Yeah, well, the track's definitely wet enough that you're actually seeing the times on the intermediate start to drop because the drivers are having to pull back a little bit.
And there's some aquaplaning at the end of the track. I thought Sauber was making a great decision, and we're going to see what's going to happen here. The rain gets harder. People start slipping and sliding. Of course, Romain Grosjean does beach the car, and he's out, and he does the famous, please push me. That just doesn't happen. And you know what? I'm still surprised we see as much gravel in some of these tracks.
Especially this track. This track has got huge runoffs that could easily be paved.
And the trend is to pave these runoffs to keep the cars on track.
Right.
And I think this gravel area should be paved.
Yeah, there's got to be some formulae that tells
them... Or
shallower
or gravel.
Yeah, something that would... So that because you know, it's more than tire deep because... I don't know, I think if he kept it rolling, he might have had a chance. But he got into a position where he was stopped on the gravel, which pretty much means you're toast.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you put it in gear, ruts.
Yeah. And the other thing is Ferrari's pit stops. In Australia, they were fantastic.
Oh, they were outstanding.
Once again, this weekend, they are outstanding. And the team that I expect to be challenging Ferrari with fast pit stops would be McLaren. And they looked like complete morons.
Oh, you know, that was one of
not even sure what had happened to them.
Yeah, that must be enjoying the nightlife in Kuala Lumpur or something. Because those were some of the worst stops that they've had in years.
Yes, where they looked amateur-esque. I mean, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Well, the one with Lewis.
His second pit stop.
Yeah, the guy doesn't even get the jack under the car in the back. I'm like...
He's having problems with the jack. They have two jacks. They have one mechanical one and one hydraulic. And if one doesn't work, the other one slips in. But then, I mean, the duct tape on the brake ducting was a pathetic situation.
Yeah.
McLaren really had a bad day, and it shows throughout the race. Even though Lewis Hamilton does an outstanding job in holding third place through this race.
He does.
It's very impressive. But anyway, by lap 14... I'm not sure when the safety car came out, but we had some heavy lightning. Lap 15, the rain is coming down hard. Everybody is pitted at least once now for full wets, and we have a safety car.
Yep.
And there was a power failure. Some people called it a red flag, but it wasn't. That was a faux red flag. It was a safety car. And really, this is the beginning of the end for the McLarens. Ferrari nailed it.
Yeah, They made a really brilliant decision and really gave their driver the opportunity to take this race away from everybody else.
And my favorite, I mean, a lot of people shine in this race. Eric Verne shines in this race. Bruno Senna finally convinced me that he's capable.
Yeah, that he actually belongs in a Formula One car.
Yeah. I mean, I was stunned. I was going, holy crap, this guy's actually impressing me. Pastor Maldonado, he's got to go to the church and deal with this last lap situation with him. Okay, it was the second to the last lap.
Still, awfully close.
Unbelievable. Eventually, the race is flagged. We have a 40-minute race delay or something like that. It's raining really hard. Then we restart behind the safety car. Very impressive with the fumbled pit stops by McLaren. Ferrari nailing the pit stops. And Sauber having some great pit stops as well.
Yeah.
Kamui Kobayashi doesn't have a great day, but Sergio Perez is the hero in Mexico, and I can see it. I'm sure they're still talking about it in Mexico.
Oh, you know they are.
Because this is the first time that a Mexican has been on the podium in 41 years.
Wow.
I know. It's just phenomenal, but it was so, so exciting. I could not believe Jenson Button has a disastrous race, but that's okay. I mean, he had some bad luck. The pits were... But the person I thought really needed to pick up the game a little bit was Felipe Massa. What is going on with this guy?
New chassis, because he had problems, quote unquote, with the other one. So
I am stunned.
Maranello gives him another chassis. And he, at one point, looked, well, qualifying, he looked decent.
No, he looks decent at the beginning, but something happens.
Think about back to Silverstone, what was it, 2-3 years ago?
You're talking about the pirouettes.
Yeah, exactly. Where he spun like 3-4 times in that race?
You just won't let go of that.
But it plays to his abilities in the rain. That he really has no confidence in his drivability in the rain.
And but even as it begun to dry in the third part of the race, he's getting passed by Ricciardo. He's making mistakes. Yeah. He's going wide. Two more cars get past him. I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, what did he finish? 18th?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean, the Ferrari garage are tearing up with Fernando in the lead, winning with a car that has no business winning. I mean, he is the talk of the town, the hero of Italy. And Felipe Massa is just nowhere to be seen.
He's
not a contributing member.
Felipe may be seen down at the Sauber garage next week. You know?
Well, I am telling you right now, the last 20 laps of this race, for me, were really some pretty exciting things. And I know it's just Sergio Perez chasing down Fernando, but it was pretty exciting to see
the tiny bits of strategy with, okay, the track's drying out, but rain is imminent. Do we go to, you know, do we take the risk and go to slicks? Because these intermediates are just about slicks.
Yeah. No, but it was very exciting. Those last 20 laps, you're on the edge of your seat. This is what Formula One should be. This was a fantastic race. And Nahrain Karthikeyan definitely contributed to the fun when it was the best. He's behind Sebastian Vettel and somehow just does the James Bond thing by shredding his tires.
Yeah, exactly.
And that tire just went.
Yeah.
It was the greatest picture I'd ever seen. He's shaking his fists, cursing, and flipping people off while his tire is just exploding in the background. That was the best. I mean, you can't make stuff up like that. And what the sad part is, he was sixth, and that relegated him back to P12, I believe. Now, the team is telling him, in the last few laps, as we're pretty much focused on Perez catching Fernando Alonso, but the team is getting on the radio and telling Sebastian Vettel, let's retire the car. Let's save the car. There's no chance of you getting any points.
Yeah.
They're probably seeing temperature gauges rising.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
And he refuses.
I don't think he refused, Clark. I don't think he got the message.
You don't think so? That's possible.
Both of them, Red Bulls were having issues with the radio.
Yeah. Well, Mark Webber admitted that he just yanked the cord out of his helmet because it was just too annoying.
Yeah.
And I could see how these double world champions, now that things aren't going their way, the chatter on the radio is probably a lot more intense and nasty than it was last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that he's gone from a car that was total dominance, really, to a car that's now a good car.
No, they're still, three.
But it's not, it's not the, bye, I'll see you at the race.
Yeah, the diffuser really hurt them.
Well, the loss of the diffuser's really hurting them because they haven't come up with something to get any of that back.
I think it's hurt, of all the teams, it's hurt them the worst. There's no more thank you boys, or whatever he calls his car. I find it fascinating, but in the end, the Sergio Perez fight, I think he could have caught Ferrari.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't make that mistake, I think the race ends a lot closer.
But let's not forget, he's 21 years old. The mistake was valid. He admits it after the race, and the track was a little wet there. You go wide, you hit a little patch of water, and he luckily didn't hit the gravel.
Yeah.
Because that would have been so disastrous.
Oh, we would have been crying because that would just be horrible.
It would have been too much. He would have been crying. Mexico would have been crying. So it was a fantastic race. Sergio Perez is wonderful. I like the pictures of Sebastian Vettel using his other finger now. It's definitely a great change-up. I don't see how Massa ever even sets foot in Italy anymore.
I have a hard time. If he doesn't redeem himself in China to at least some degree, he's toast. Yeah. I can't see Montezemolo allowing Domenicali to leave him in the car.
Decisions will be made soon. Trust me. If this happens again in China, they have no choice.
Yeah. The DeFosi will rush the factory.
They answer to a greater authority, Steven. So, no, it's going to be outstanding.
Lucky for them, the Pope's in Cuba.
Exactly. But Bruno Senna, really, he came out of his shell, finished sixth, while he was at the, 15th. It was very, very impressive. Lots of good, clean passing from Bruno Senna. I thought it was outstanding, very impressive. Both Force Indias, 7th and 9th. Outstanding race from both Derussa and Hülkenberg. Schumacher finishes in the points with 10th.
Yeah, that was a bit of a drive, considering that he dropped 18th.
And both of them, Rosberg finished 11th. C'est la vie, but still, both of them struggled with their tires.
Yeah.
The cars are not managing the tires well at all.
Well, poor Rosberg just looked like somebody tied an anchor to the back of his car there for a while. It's
he had no chance.
Pass.
Yeah, he had no chance. It was very impressive. Jean-Éric Vergne did a fantastic job. Very impressed with him, especially starting behind the safety car. Outstanding job. I'm a little disappointed with the Caterham team. They have the Renault package, the gearbox, the DRS, the KERS. They should be further upfield.
Or should at least be challenging further upfield. It just goes to show how big a component aero is. But even so, you can steal a lot of aero idea off of other cars and make yours decent. And if you've got anybody who understands aerodynamics, you should be doing better than that. You should, computer model all day long.
Absolutely.
And it's relatively cheap.
And it's their second year with the Renault package. Williams comes in with the first year of the Renault package and is blowing them out of the water.
Exactly.
So I know Williams is a very big company. They've been in Formula One a long time. But still, if you have to, like you said, take a look at their car and copy what you need to copy. I expect Lotus to be up the grid a little bit further by now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I know Mike Gascoigne has taken a lot of different positions in the corporation, and he is spread a bit too thin.
Yeah, well, no, it's one of those situations. He wants to control everything, and you can't do that. It just doesn't work. What you really need, I think, if you look at team principles, one of the perfect examples is Flavio.
Flavio.
He was never really. He was ultimately just a manager.
Exactly. He didn't care if he didn't know anything about the steering wheel. And he was often mocked by people like Ron Dennis, who says, this guy knows nothing about nothing. But Ron Dennis started it as a mechanic. It's a completely different situation.
And it comes down to Flavio knew people. He knew how to get the best out of his drivers, out of his engineering staff, out of his crewmen. He probably was getting the best out of his marketing and his caterer. It's like he just knew how to work with people and to get the best out of the team as a whole. And I think that's what you really need, ultimately, in Formula One. It's great if he knows more about the engineering side of the car. But he doesn't really need to. He needs to be able to get the best out of the people he's got in those slots.
Absolutely. Speaking of Flavio, Flavio was a believer in the one driver, two driver.
Yeah, one and two. Yes.
Exactly.
And frankly, it eliminates a lot of trouble sometimes. Yeah. But, you can make it work, but you have to have two drivers that are willing to compete against each other in a friendly and professional manner.
Yeah. Now, and I love the praise that they were heaping on Fernando while he was taking his victory lap.
Well,
they know that without Fernando, they would be in really bad shape.
They'd be in really deep kimchi. Yeah, it's amazing. Again, driving a car that really has no business being where it was and just the right tweak of strategy, and he was able to get Ferrari's now praying for rain for the rest of the season because their car is reasonably competitive when it's wet.
Yeah, no, and the car I think it's managing the tires a lot better than it did last year, and we'll see what happens. The biggest problem right now with Ferrari is consistent points hauling, but they have to have a number two driver that gets in the points consistently.
Yeah.
And not wandering aimlessly.
Exactly. Not going for a nice drive in the afternoon.
Stefano Domenicali has... he's backing up Felipe all the way.
Well, he's got to until...
I know. He says, I remember 4 years ago, in fact, right after the Malaysian Grand Prix, which was won by us, by Kimi Raikkonen, Felipe was more or less in the same situation as today. The papers were demanding his immediate replacement, and he managed to react in the best way possible, thanks to support and loving from the team, which saw him win two of the next three races. We remember how that particular season ended, with the Brazilian actually world champion, even if it was just for a few seconds.
Well, in other words, if he'd scored more points in Malaysia, he would have won the championship.
Yeah, completely different car.
A completely different animal. Yeah. And I don't think he finished 18th when his teammate won the race.
So, and not only that, but that was before the Rubens Barrichello Monroe shock hit him in the face.
Yeah, before. So, in the spring in the noggin.
Yeah. Now, Nahrain Karthikeyan, and Jenson Button was very mature. He took the blame when he hit the back of Nahrain's car. And when I looked at the replay, Button was definitely in the wrong. Nahrain was following the line, went around the corner, and Button just misjudged and hit him.
Yeah.
And admitted it. He didn't start freaking out. But Nahrain Karthikeyan has hit out about Sebastian Vettel's commentary with his other fingers. And Nahrain says, "For a world champion to say things like that is really shameful. It is really unprofessional for a driver who has achieved so much to take out his frustrations on moi just because he is having a difficult year. It's very sad. One does not expect a professional sportsman to be such a wah, wah." Very nice. I like Nahrain now. Now, Sebastian Vettel is not taking any of this quietly.
Of course not.
But he does say some pretty funny stuff. He says, "I heard the command, and of course..." Oh, no. This is about stopping the car. Oh. My apologies to everybody. This was right after the accident with Nahrain. I'll get that right eventually. "I heard the command, of course, you can save the car, but I wanted to see the checkered flag." I think that's how it should be, and I sort of agree with him. And like a lot of people said, maybe he didn't hear it, but I'm sure
what
he did.
What does he save? He's, you know, it's a lap.
That's And to be honest with you, I was surprised the team was telling him to park the car a lap and a half, two laps before.
Yeah, I'm just
end.
Wondering if there's other tech, you know, other sporting regulations that benefit them.
If you do not finish.
If he doesn't finish,
correct.
Can he change the gearbox without penalty?
I think that's what they were going for.
Because I imagine they're concerned about that gearbox with the way that tire went off and the kind of vibrations.
Yeah, that kind of damage, yeah. No, I agree. But Helmut Marko came out. Of course, him and Sebastian are
of
like
course.
This. And he says, "After the crash with Karthikeyan, the temperature of the brakes rose far above the allowed level. We called him in purely because the car was no longer safe. And it was just a safety concern for his loving child, not tactical reasons. The world champion could face reprisals from the FIA after being filmed making the single finger salute to the Indian while attempting to pass him." Yeah, the irony is the film comes directly from Vettel's car. Maybe have a meeting.
It's a fine.
You know, I would have been frustrated too. He's double world champion. He thinks he's going to have a hat trick, and all of a sudden it's all falling apart. Good. Even though it's just a second race.
Exactly.
By the time they get to Europe, things could turn quickly.
Yeah, well, especially if Nui.
I agree. So anyway, let's go to the forum. Everybody contributes to the show, and we have 50 words on the Malaysian Grand Prix. Take it away, Stephen.
Rathump writes, "Another exciting race. Oh, how I love the rain. Perez was very impressive, as was Alonso."
Interraptor says, "Great performance by Alonso. Stellar performance by Checo Perez. Why is Karthikeyan even allowed to drive? Give him a rickshaw. That is all he is fit to drive. Oh, and how long until the two at the top both drive a red car? Felipe who?"
Dr. Mark F. writes, "Fernando pulls another fun race out of the bag as the traditional Rainmeister Schumi and Button are strangely subdued. Domenicali's job may be saved, but Felipe's looks precarious as Chico performs behind his future boss."
Now, just talk us through, if you can. We heard the radio message being transmitted saying, "Sergio, we need this position," but we don't know exactly what lap that came. It came, you know, we heard that message at turn 9, and then you ran wide at turn 14. Had it been given the lap before, or had that message just been?
I don't really remember. I think it was a bit before or after. I don't really remember, but I Some people ask me if it make me lose the concentration, but obviously not.
And could you just explain to us what happened? Was it just quite simply driver error?
Yeah, I was trying to get Alonso. I had some understeer, and then I lost the rear, the back end. I went to the wet part, and I just run wide. Obviously, I was going into the gravel, so I just run a bit wide.
Okay, well, I wouldn't feel too bad about that because you finished second in the Grand Prix. Yeah. Up on
don't
the
show
podium.
Me it again.
You've had a chance.
I have to go now. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, Sergio, congratulations. Well done.
Miguel says Ferrari pressed the switch and Perez wobbled. Teflonzo Rat Fink gets away with another victory.
Neon Zapper writes, three top winners, Fernando, Perez, and Ferrari.
Auto Racer 5 says, Domenicali's job may be saved, but the same cannot be said for Felipe Massa. I only wish Perez could have stayed on track near the end. Random fact, the last time a car with pull rod front suspension won an F1 race was the 1990 Italian Grand Prix with Ayrton Senna.
Mark writes, Alonso wins and gets the prize for most honest person of the day. What does this change? Nothing. Perez gets a medal for understanding team orders and a mature drive from Hamilton. Damn shame for Schumacher and Button. Fun race to watch.
Ponty92 writes, not a single dull moment after the red flag. Very impressive drive by Perez. Disappointing day for many of the top drivers, but a pleasantly surprising top 10.
Desiree of F1 Weekly writes, Fernando wins in an ugly-ass Ferrari in Malaysia. A Mexican snuck over the border and got second for Sauber. Their Swiss leader couldn't remain neutral and cried tears of joy. Lewis has Mark Webber's disease, which causes you to be unable to convert pole to a win, but happy to place better than poor Jens.
CON says, good to see a new face on the podium. Forza Ferrari!
Lap Traffic writes, this is why we love the rain. McLaren and their drivers figure out a way to throw away the win. Twice. Alonso is happy to inherit a most unexpected win in the ugliest Ferrari ever. Perez takes an even more unexpected second. Massa moves ever closer to his NASCAR debut.
Well, don't forget, you know, Nelson Piquet Jr., our buddy, won a NASCAR race in the Truck Series just recently.
Ooh.
Yes, exactly. And that just spreads across Brazil. And now with Rubinho over here on this side of the pond, I'm telling you, it's a Brazilian exodus. It's fascinating. Anyway, Leon Bray, great race, lots of passing, and great moves around the outside in the wet. Would have loved to see Perez on the top step. A great drive. Hope it rains in China. Time for Karun to replace Narain.
Parrothead writes, had to laugh when they handed Alonso the winning trophy. My first thought was, oh, beep, they gave Alonso the third place trophy.
Shocking. Iceman, driver of the day, Perez applied for the vacant position at Ferrari and showed his political astuteness by understanding the coded radio transmission. Fabulous race on Tilke track. What a shock.
Yes. Mayonnaise writes, I thought it was a much better race than the previous. Kudos to Perez. I think he would have gotten Fernando with the DRS had he not had the shunt. He must have won the dry setup coin toss over Kobe. Poor Massa, the end is near.
And Bob Gardner writes, bloody Hulkenberg was one spot away from some desperately needed 3 points for my F1 Weekly prediction game. Well, I'm sad to hear that. But there you have it. Thanks for everybody on the forum. It was pretty exciting. A fantastic race. I think China could definitely be fascinating.
Should be a lot of fun. It would be nice to see it a little wet.
Well, I think Sauber's going to bring in some momentum. They're going to be pumped up.
Yep.
They're going to be impressed. There's nothing like your first podium to get you excited. So Perez...
Well, you know McLaren's doing nothing but pit stop practice this
week. Yeah, oh my God. Those pit stops were just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was... I haven't seen that kind of... It was just plain bad from a top team.
Okay, and after China is Bahrain, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on. And Sheikh Abdullah bin Isa Al Khalifa has moved to declare that the Grand Prix would not be affected by any sort of violent clashes that Bahrain saw last year. We've never had any violence towards foreigners. All I can guarantee is it will be safe as any other Grand Prix. Yes, the events of February 14th last year inflamed some matters, but we've never had an issue with F1, which has been visiting our country since 2004. Any death is unfortunate or regrettable, but I'm not worried at all. So that's from the Sheik. Bahrain is on. The bills are paid, so I'm looking forward to that. Not a great track, but maybe we'll get rain in Bahrain.
Wouldn't that be a trip? Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinon is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinon.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Nando strikes again in the rain. Sergio is numero uno in Mexico, and he is saying Mexicans are going out of control. And Vettel finds a cucumber on the Malaysian motorway, and this is also getting out of control. Hamilton is 2x2x2. Happy Doss gets underway in Sepang, IndyCars in Florida, and Lenes Car in Southern California. We shall begin with F1, and what a rain dance by Fernando Alonso and Sergio Perez. One Ferrari driver wins the race in a prancing pig, and the other driver continues his porca miseria. I have rarely seen such a big difference in modern times between teammates.
It's unbelievable.
It is very, very
sad. It seems
sad.
To be getting worse.
Yes, and we don't know how much is from the accident that Massa had, but and I read today somebody made a comment that reason he's not performing is that Ferrari is using him as a test driver, using new parts on his car. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he was never going to win against Raikkonen and Alonso.
Teams have done that for a long time. I mean, Red Bull did that all of last year with Mark Webber's wing. Vettel got the new wing. Webber got the old wing. That's part of life.
Well, as they say, best drivers get the best rides.
Shocking.
Exactly. Three of the most exciting wins, this is also shocking, in the last 5 years, where the car had no business winning. You know, a friend of mine used to say to me all the time, especially with reference to Ayrton Senna, he said, winning a race in a great car is fine, it's great, you know, no problem. But he said, winning in a car that has no business winning, that's magic, and that's what we got on Sunday. A little help from McLaren, but, you know, you take the wins as they come.
That's right.
Okay, all these three races I'm referring to, and this is just my personal opinion, they were all won by Nando, incredibly in three different cars. The 2000 European Grand Prix, where Nando was given one quick opportunity, thanks to late race rain, and he grabbed the win from the man who was now all but drowned in the shadow at Scuderia Ferrari. And you know, as this is one of those things, you know, when you give a good guy one chance, he grabs it. If you recall, there was a time in the French Grand Prix, Kimi Raikkonen was on his way ultra quick in his beautiful silver McLaren, and then one of the Toyotas had a engine done blowed up. There was some oil, and he went off track a little bit, and he came back. He was almost back, and that was all that some guy in a red car needed, and he zipped by.
Damn.
Michael Schumacher, and that's what happens, you know. Then there was the 2008 Japanese Grand Prix at Fuji Speedway, where Nando won in a Renault, and on Sunday at Sepang, Nando gets into elite club. This is very, very impressive. I'll tell you, man, this is just a personal opinion. This kind of a race galvanizes me for... We can have a season and a half now of processional races, but this is going to keep me going. I love a great win. Yeah, you know that. Okay, Nando gets into Elite Club as one of the top five most successful Grand Prix drivers of all time. This is serious business here. Surpassing 27 victories of Jackie Stewart, all this from a driver who started at Minardi. So, yeah, oh yeah, very much so. And where was Nando's teammate, 15th? If that was not bad enough, to borrow a phrase from an F1 journalist who was at the race, and as we all know, we were not at the race, but like this, we're on the Speed TV program sitting in a room in, well, they're in North Carolina, we're in North California. The final nail in the coffin for Massa's time at Ferrari was delivered by the man in the junior driver development program, Senor Sergio Perez of Guadalajara, Mexico, south of the border. Sergio Perez, who could not win. Normally over the years, you know, you had people like Riccardo Patrese came very young. Elio De Angelis touted by everyone. Oh, the next big Italian thing, winner of the Monaco F3 race. This guy, Antonio Pisonia, was known as Jungle Boy. He won the British F3. A lot of people promise a lot of things, and they just fizzle out. But very rarely you will have a guy who really does not perform in junior Formula and then come on strong in Formula One. This is very, very impressive. So, Sergio Perez, who could not win the 2008 British F3 against Jaime Alguersuari, who won the championship, Oliver Turby, who was second, and Brendan Hartley, I believe he was third, has done an outstanding job since his arrival in Formula One last year, despite having a very good and exciting teammate in Kamui Kobayashi. And, you know, Kamui Kobayashi, after his first two races with Toyota some years ago, he was the darling of the F1 fans, if you recall.
And I still love him.
No, he's pretty
his
good.
His pass on Schumacher was outstanding.
Oh, yeah, he's very good. He's very exciting. It sure looked like we may have the first Mexican Grand Prix winner since Spa 1970, when Pedro Rodriguez won in a PRM. That would have been something. But the dream was too much for him, and Perez made a small error and then ran out of time to hunt down Nando. This race may open the door for a seat as Nando's teammate sooner or later. Question being asked is, why would Ferrari wait? If they can buy out Raikkonen's contract, Massa's buyout would be peanuts compared to Kempster's. And you know, the fact that Perez is in their young driver development program is not good for Massa.
Not only that, but we were talking last week about Perez replacing Massa. What does Perez do? Finish on the podium the following race.
Yeah, it's Hamilton, two races, two poles, and two podiums. Performance like this and staying away from Massa will get him his second title. Time will tell how long it will take for the Red Bull and Ferrari ugly ducklings to catch up to McLaren, and sooner or later they will. Hamilton will not have the luxury of non-threatening teammates, and that luxury enjoyed by Vettel and Nando, but with Mama and Pussycat Doll keeping him cool at races, sitting side by side, we may see the Lou Ham of 2007. And I think you remember some of that season.
Always whining.
I'm just asking. Jean-Éric Vergne lay happy to score championship points in his second F1 race, so this is very good. Romain Grosjean, impressive and quality for both races. Hopefully we will see him finish races soon. Like Nico Hülkenberg, the man has won championship at every level in impressive style before reaching F1. But it's interesting how he got a second chance. He has not delivered in the race. And Kimi Raikkonen, he's looking very feisty, huh?
Not only that, but the car is pretty good.
Yeah, the car is pretty decent. And Kimi Raikkonen is looking feisty. I like that.
Oh, I like it too. Yeah, he's there. He's right there. I'm really happy Kimi is not languishing and people are going, oh, let's see what happens when you retire.
Yeah. No, I mean, the guy is giving me, you know, hopes that he will perform like when he was at
McLaren. I think it's very possible that we'll see him on a couple of podiums.
Yeah. Vettel versus Karthikeyan. Bastian is not getting any support for his behavior in calling Narain stupid and cucumber after the Malaysian Grand Prix. Even his own fellow German drivers like Nico Hülkenberg and Hans-Joachim Stuck have come out and said Narain did not do anything wrong. Best thing was said by David Deasy that Narain cannot make his car disappear. Perhaps Sebastian has a short memory and do not recall running into his own teammate in Turkey and spearing Button in the straight line at Spa. Then there was the crying game in the rain in the Japanese Grand Prix when he took out Mark Webber.
Yeah. And what's going to be interesting is we'll see how this frustration affects Vettel's driving further on in the season.
Yes. Hopefully all this will be sorted out in Shanghai, and they will do some lovey-dovey over spicy sauerkraut and dim sum. We definitely do not want... They're going to... you know, in Shanghai, they have a nightclub called Mint. We don't want these people going there and settling this issue with broken glass.
Well, all I know is I've seen some memos that that nightclub no longer has champagne glasses, strictly plastic tumblers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're going on the Coleman program now.
Safety first.
Oh, that's good. The Mercedes men, it was good to see Schumi in post-quali press conference. It's been a while. The race pace of the cars is no match for McLaren, and now the news is Mercedes is not a signatory to the new deal Bernie has announced with select teams. Of course, his favorite Ferrari, and the rumors are circulating that Ferrari is going to get a special $50 million bonus before any money is given to anybody. Red Bull and McLaren also have joined. Toro Rosso and Sauber are expected to follow orders from parent company and engine supplier. And you know, because of work situation, month end and all that, things going on, I've not done a lot of reading into Adam Pard has left, but
Williams,
apparently
correct.
They're saying that there was some issue with him and Bernie, but we'll address that next time.
Exactly, and Mercedes' biggest problem is the name change from Braun to Mercedes is it's a small asterisk in Bernie saying you get less money because of the name change. And well, Ferrari always gets treated special.
Well, you know, when you have the power, you can make the rules any
Absolutely.
Way you want. Okay, do you remember when the Michelin fiasco happened at Indy? They were throwing the book at Michelin that, oh, any changes to the track must be inspected 90 days prior. You know, the track before a race can be held has to be inspected 90 days. Gee, I remember the first Korean Grand Prix, it was inspected probably like 90 hours before
correct.
The race.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, Habidos, season opener at Sepang won by Luis Razia for Christian Horner's Arden team. Pole sitter Davide Valsecchi was second, and Pretty Boy Floyd, Max Chilton, was third. Who was the guy we used to call Pretty Boy Floyd some years ago?
You're asking the wrong guy. Pretty Boy Floyd.
He was a gangster.
I believe that would be Chicago.
No, there was a driver we were calling Pretty Boy Floyd. Who was it?
It was Nelson Piquet Jr.
No, definitely it was not. It was somebody else. I don't remember now. Anyway, it will come back to us someday. The sprint race on Sunday was won by rookie James Calado over his Lotus teammate and one of the preseason favorites and a good amigo of F1 Weekly, Senor Esteban Gutierrez. My long-distance cousin Felipe Nasr was third. Now, check this out, man. Generally, general consensus is that it will be an experienced driver who will win, and I think that's what's going to happen. Razia is in his fourth year, I believe. Davide Valsecchi is in his fourth year, previous winner of Hapidos Asia. James Calado, I think he's the new muy macho chap de Inglaterra. In four GP2 races, he has two victories. There are drivers I know who take 4 years to win one race, and this kid has won two races and four start. He also took part last year in the non-championship GP2 race at Yas Marina in November. Last season, he was second in Hapit race, GP3. In 2010, he was second in British F3, and in 2009, was again second, this time in the Formula Renault UK. He is sponsored by Racing Steps Foundation, an association of rich English chaps who are motor racing fans and believe in Rule Britannia on racing tracks. I think Mr. Brazier and Dr. Farrington are members of this club. They are also sponsoring Jack Harvey, who is in British F3 and also a very good racing prospect. The next Hapidos round is in Bahrain, where the natives are still restless, and the time will tell if Dos and Uno will race there next month. Interestingly, there are two GP2 races, I think, in Bahrain, one before the F1 race and one with the F1 race, so we'll see how that pans out. Indy cars, their season has begun. Round one was in St. Petersburg, Florida. Elio Castroneves for Team Penske was the winner. Scott Dixon, second for Ganassi Racing, was the only Honda-powered car in the top five. Rest were Chevy-powered. It's a good start for Chevrolet there. Ryan Hunter-Reay was third, driving for Andretti Autosports. His teammate James Hinchcliffe, also known as Manica for replacing Danica, was fourth, and Ryan Briscoe completed the top five for Captain Penske. Rubens Barrichello was 17th. DNF included Bordet, Sato-San, real shocker, and the two ladies, Catherine Legg and Simona Di Silvestro. And Tony Kanaan, who brought Rubinho into American racing, is also a DNF. Also in the streets of St. Petersburg, there was a lot of action for support races. Indy Lights, the winner was your homeboy, Tristan Wautier from Francia. Star Mazda, race one winner was Connor De Filippi from Southern California. Race two winner was Jack Hawksworth from UK. US Formula 2000, double the pleasure was experienced by Spencer Pigard. He won both the races. From Sunshine State, we go to Southland for Lane S. Carr at Fontana, a mighty fine oval that was built by Mr. Penske and then sold to France family of NASCAR Nation. The nationwide race was won by Joey Logano in a Toyota, and the main Sprint Cup race was won by Smoke, also known as Tony Stewart, in a Chevy Impala.
A two for him this season already?
Yeah, he's doing very good.
Yeah.
Any tire fires?
No, no tire fire, because when Smoke is on top, then there's no tire fire.
Now, who's leading the points?
IBM, what is it called? ENIAC is working
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
It's working on it.
It's working?
Yeah, I think Tony Stewart should be leading.
Tony Stewart's probably leading the points since he's already won 5,000 races.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to bring it up occasionally.
Yes.
Now, I know last week you were out with an illness. Are you feeling much better?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is important.
Yes. This.
The sad part is Nelson Piquet Jr.
won a race.
Won a race while you were ill.
Well, that's...
Is there a connection there?
That's. I heard that news, and then immediately I started feeling good.
Okay, that's.
And I was feeling so good, I started running around, round and round.
That is so beautiful. It's touching.
Yes.
Okay. DTM.
DTM news. Our friend Adrian Tombay, who is a very nice, polite kid, has been recruited by Audi for their DTM program, and he's very happy. Good news for the son of ex-F1 driver Patrick Tombay. Reports are also circulating that Robert Wickens, a mighty fine driver from Toronto, and last year Formula Renault 3.5 champion over Jean-Éric Wern, will also race in DTM this year. Parr Parting Company. Chairman of Williams Grand Prix Engineering, Adam Parr, has resigned. He is being replaced by ex-Diageo CFO Nick Rose. Diageo is the parent company of Johnny Walker. Other quality brands in their portfolio include Smirnoff, Jose Cuervo, Guinness, which, and this is important, according to their website, Guinness is number one in the global stout segment. Top markets include Ireland, Nigeria, GB, US, and Cameroon. And Cameroon is home to Manu Dibango and Sol Makosa. Please enjoy.
Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mundial Nasser. Now, of course, we saved this as a surprise. We have an interview with Michela Cerutti. Nasser, can you introduce this young lady?
Yes, this young lady is originally from Roma and now living in Milano, not too far from Autodromo di Monza. And last year, Michela drove a pink Mercedes to victory at Monza in Italian Superstar Series, winning over a couple of ex-Grand Prix drivers, Johnny Morbidelli and Johnny Herbert, and that's how she came on my radar. Earlier this year, she was racing in single-seaters in the Toyota Racing Series in New Zealand, and I would like to thank her very much for her time in chatting with us, and would like to wish her all the best, and she is now embarking on an open-wheel racing career, and hopefully one of these days we'll get to meet her and attend one of our races. So thank you to Ms. Michela Cerutti.
Nasser from California.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you today?
Oh, fine, all good.
How is the weather in beautiful Milano?
Oh, today is completely spring. 20 degrees, sun is shining. Yeah, it's not bad.
Good, good. When was the last time you were at Monza Autodromo?
I was there during the WTCC 1 week ago. To see them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I'm racing with the official BMW this year, and they were there with the official BMW in the WTCC, so I just went there to visit them.
Okay, now you were recently racing in New Zealand in the Toyota Racing Series. How was that experience for you?
Oh, it was my first experience with a Formula car, racing with a Formula car. So I did that just to train a bit because to this year I'm going to do the European F3 Open Series. And so it was the perfect training for me. The country was wonderful and races were pretty okay. And I reached my goals. So I was happy with that.
I have a question. You were doing European F3, which was previously known as Spanish F3. Why did you not go for Italian F3? Because if you finish in the top three, you get a drive with, you know, a team from Maranello.
Yes, I know that. But one of the problems were that, I mean, the European one, the Open Series, has, I mean, better tracks, in my opinion. Because you race all around Europe, even if it's the old Spanish series. And then there are not races together with the Italian GT, because I'm racing also there. And so I had to find a championship in which there were not concomitances between the two championships. And that was the best one. I knew I met the team by chance, and I got on very well with them. So I decided for that.
So you are doing double duty this year?
Yeah. yeah.
You'll be a busy lady. What are you driving in the Italian GT?
It's the official BMW Z4 GT3.
Wow, very impressive.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful.
Going back to New Zealand, this was a very pleasant surprise. You were nominated as the most improved driver. Did that come as a surprise to you also, since this is your first single-seater racing experience?
Yes, was a bit of surprise, but I mean, they considered that they had not a background in karting or doing some other Formula cars. Actually, I was not racing at all when I was younger. I was skiing. I was a professional skier, and then I found out my passion for motorsport just after I took the driving license, so at 18, 19. And so, I mean, since the first race in which I was 2-3 seconds off from the pole, at the end I was less than a second off. So they considered all these things and they decided to give this award to me. And I was very, very happy because my goal was mainly to improve and to reach a pretty good level in Formula cars. And I did it. So I was happy.
Great. What were the highs and lows for you from the 15 races and 5 weekends?
The main lows.
You know, what was the best races for you, and, you know, like big disappointments and the big highs for you?
For sure, the last one, that was the New Zealand Grand Prix, so it was also the most important race for down there. And it was 35 laps race, so it was also physically tough. It was a great satisfaction to finish it. And I fought all the race, every lap, with anyone there. And so for sure the last one, and I was less a second off from the best time, was also my best qualifying. So the last one for sure.
Okay. Now, did you like the Taupo track? The scenery is beautiful when you watch on TV.
Yeah. Taupo was maybe the best circuit there, in my opinion, because it was more similar to the European ones compared to the other, because they had Teretonga and Timaru and Manfield that were really short and narrow. And a bit dangerous also sometimes, and it was very hard to overtake, and I mean, I didn't like them very much. But Taupo and also Hampton Downs were pretty good and nice, with up and down, and yes, Taupo was maybe the best one.
Did you see a lot of sheep in New Zealand?
Yeah, I love sheep. Yes, I mean, there are more sheep than humans in New Zealand. So, really? Yes, you can see many sheep.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
What is more fun and what is easier to race, tin tops or single-seaters?
They are really different. And I think that the funniest one is Formula Car. The single-seater is the real race car, in my opinion. Even if I've ever driven other kind of cars, touring cars and GT cars with a roof over my head, that when it's raining it's not bad, I have to say. But single-seater, I think, is the real race car, and it's more amazing from many points of view.
In terms of racing, do you have to adjust your racing techniques and style quite a bit, or is it the same thing?
No, it's pretty different, because in Formula cars you have to be aware that you have to protect your wings and your car, because it's very easy to break it, and I saw that, you can be sure. In other kind of races that I did years ago, it's different. You can hit each other and be more aggressive. And yes, it's completely different.
Okay.
And the driving style also is something, is like the opposite.
Okay. Your interest in motorsports comes from your dad. Please tell us about his racing activities.
Oh, he raced in 70s and 80s, till me and my sister were born. And he raced in touring cars, the GTA Alpha, old Alpha GTA, and the R5 championships, and many races like that. And I cannot remember exactly, but he won quite all the races that he did. And unless he break or something like that. And so for sure I have something in blood that came from him.
How old were you when you told your dad, I love motor racing and you want to go motor racing?
We discovered that together, because he sent me to do a safety drive course after I took the driving license, because I wanted to go very fast. I wanted a fast car. So he was, let's do a course just to be sure that you're not hurting yourself in the car. And I did it with a race driver. And he discovered that there was something nice in my driving and that maybe I could race. So he convinced my father to make me race. And then also my father restart race. when I started in 2008. So it was like a family decision to race all together. Then I went on with that, and now he's a bit old to do that. So I'm the only one in the family now. But yes, he was really happy about that, because we are four sons and I am the only one driving, and he's very proud of that.
That's good. Now, you mentioned earlier that you were a professional skier. Between skiing and motor racing, what was the thing that you liked more about motorsports that you are pursuing a career in racing now?
There are many similar things between racing and skiing. But, I did it many years ago till I was 16. And I found many similar things, because you have to think about the line as well, and you go very fast as well, and maybe sometimes skiing is also more dangerous than motorsport, even if that can look strange, but it's like that in my opinion. And there is the same concept behind them, I think, but maybe motor racing is more exciting. I'm better in motor racing, I think. Oh. I was not so good in skiing. Yes, I had a pretty good results, but not as the one in motorsport. So.
Do you like the sound of Formula One racing engines?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, 2008, you raced an Alfa Romeo. What stood out for you from your first year of motor racing? What was the highs and what was the surprises for you?
The first year?
Yes.
It was all also new, and actually I didn't know really anything about motorsport before that year, so I didn't know either that there were championships that were not Formula One, and I was not interested even in Formula One. And since I started racing, I start to have a big interest in anything that concerned motorsport. I mean, the best thing was to be in the starting grid, my very, very, very first race, with the foot trembling on the clutch pedal, I remember. And yes, from that race, I found out and I thought that that would have been my life. I think because the adrenaline and the emotion that you have in a car, and I really didn't know them, and now that I know them, I cannot live without them. So,
yeah,
it's like a drug.
Oh yeah. Who is guiding and managing your career in terms of what race series you go to? Do you have a manager, or is it a family affair, you and your papa?
Oh, I'm very lucky with that, because actually, my father is helping me a lot. I've not a real manager, as you can consider someone, but my uncle is Dario Calzavara, who was who was in Formula One Ferrari team some years ago.
Wow.
So he knows a lot of people. Yes, he is very interesting in my case and in helping me. And, you know, in this world, it's very important if you know the right persons and if you can have some good contacts. And he is helping me a lot. So we are in family, but fortunately, I have many members of my family that are really aware of what motorsport is and know many, many important people in that.
Has your uncle arranged a lunch between you and Luca Montezemolo?
Hmm?
Has your uncle, who used to work for Ferrari, has he arranged a lunch for you and Luca Montezemolo?
No, not yet, but maybe we are working for you. We are working for that. I don't know. No, not yet. Not yet, but they had the chance to meet a lot of people when I went to the Formula One weekend in Monza last year. And I could go inside the real paddock with all the important people of Formula One, and it was really exciting for me.
Yeah. In 2010, you moved up to Superstar Series driving a 500-plus horsepower Mercedes against Grand Prix drivers like Johnny Herbert and Gianni Morbidelli. This must have been a very important learning year for you.
Yes, and actually I did not have good results that year. The best was just a 7th place in Varano, and we got to the end in 9, I have to say. So it was not a real good season from the point of view of results, but I worked a lot. And we had already seen many good lap times in free practice or during the races, but even if other people didn't see them, and I just worked, and I learned to fight, and I was in the end of the race maybe one time yes, one time no, but Superstars is very tough from that point of view, because you hit each other a lot, but yes, I learned a lot, then I worked a lot, I trained more and more and more, and the year after was the best.
Now, you mentioned you don't have much karting experience. Did you ever go to any driving school, or you just started racing and learned as you went along?
No, I mean, after, I just went directly to the race car. So never did karting. I did karting the first time in 2009 because I started training for 2010, and I thought, well, I have to do some karting just to learn the basic driving style that anyone has in motorsport, and so just for training, but nothing before that.
Okay. Now, at Monza Autodromo last year, will you please tell our listeners what happened there last year in race 2?
I won my first race in Superstar Series. Yes, was maybe the best day in my life, and you know, and winning with all those good drivers, as you told, like Morbidelli, Herbert, who was my teammate, my lovely teammate, and many others from the FIA GT champions. And I mean, it was really something crazy, crazy. We didn't expect that, and no one expected that. So it was such a huge surprise for everyone. And there were 28,000 people there. And it was the first time that in Superstars there were so many people watching that. And it was in Monza, and no women won in Monza before me. So, yes, it was something really great.
Yeah, I note with interest the color of your car is pink, a pink Mercedes. Yeah. Is that to show girl power, or is that a sponsor driven?
No, it's just to show girl power. I didn't want to do that because, I mean, they decided to make my car pink the last two races of 2010, when I was not so good yet, so I was a bit afraid to have critics from the others, because, you know, when you have a pink car, everyone is watching at you. And if you do something bad, they just say, oh, well, it's a woman, so what do you expect from her? But if you do something pretty good or just quite good, it's like something, wow, unbelievable. So you can imagine when a pink car was in front of everybody, in front of 30 cars in Monza, what happened. And yes, it was something crazy. People didn't believe that. People didn't believe that was really me in the car and something like that.
Yeah. Now, Italy has some great tracks. Monza is my favorite. Between Imola and Mugello, which is more fun to drive?
I think that Mugello is my favorite of all in Italy. I think that Mugello is the best, with all the up and down and the Arrabbiate and Casanova Savelli corners. It's my favorite, and I'm pretty good in fast tracks with long corners and fast corners, so it's the best in my opinion, even if Imola is amazing, I think.
Yeah. Okay, where would you like your career to be in 5 years, Michaela?
I don't know. I cannot be sure of anything now, but I'm trying to become a real professional race driver. So I don't know if my career will be on open wheels or on GT cars. So maybe I was thinking about DTM. That will be a great result for me. Mm-hmm. Or you don't know, maybe if I will be good also in single seater, you never know, maybe something like GP2 would be fantastic, but it's too soon to speak about results there.
You know, we do a show from California. Do you follow American racing?
Yeah, I mean, last year I was in Sky doing the comment of the IndyCar races in Italy.
Oh, really?
So I was in television talking about the races on IndyCar, and yes, I followed all the season and all the races.
What's your opinion of Danica Patrick now that she has gone to NASCAR?
I agree with her in the sense that maybe she's a bit like me. She did both. She's doing both, and she was very good in single-seater with IndyCar, and now it's good, in my opinion, that she changes again, and maybe it's also effect of sponsor from what I know. I think she will be good also there. I mean, she showed that she can be good also in NASCAR, so that's good luck for her.
Okay, you sound like a real motorsports fan. Do you follow MotoGP? And what is your opinion of Dottore?
I don't follow MotoGP like I follow the cars, but I watch that and I like very much Valentino Rossi, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And yes, but I think that, I mean, now the best one is Stoner. and he has really good driving, I think, from what I saw. But I mean, I'm a bit afraid of motorbikes, so I'm always a bit scared when I watch races. And overall, after the big accident of Simoncelli last year, was really shocking for us in Italy and for all the drivers here.
Right. Yeah. What about Formula One, the season opener in Australia? Did you enjoy that race? What do you think of Jenson Button and the season ahead?
Oh, I love Jenson Button. Actually, he's one of my favorite because he's not always good, but he sometimes really does something fantastic in some races. Like last year in Canada was amazing watching a team winning. And my very favorite is Alonso, but I'm very sorry for him in these last 2 years, and I hope that this year he can do much better, just if he will have a better car, I think, because he has nothing wrong. He is the best, I think, in driving and also in all his behaviors during racing and during qualifying. Sometimes he made a bit of mistakes, but really rarely. So I hope that he will win, even if Ferrari is not the best anymore, I think, and they are really in trouble with the car and with everything. So, but Button would be good as well if he wins.
Yeah. Okay, when is your next race?
The 29th of April in Portimao with F3.
F3, Portugal, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you know, Michaela, it's very nice talking to you. I appreciate your time. Finally.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Finally, will you please tell our listeners a little bit about Michaela, the lady, not the race car driver, what kind of music you like, what kind of food you like, and how do you spend your non-racing time?
Oh, actually, I have not so much non-racing time in these days. But, you know, I live in Milan, so I'm the typical girl from Milan. I love happy hours and I love going to discos. We have many discos here, even if I have to be careful not to drink too much because I'm an athlete. But I really do that. And then I graduated in psychology. That is my other great passion. And you can be sure that in motorsport there are so many crazy people. So if I will not have a good career as a driver, I'm sure I will have a good career as a psychologist in motor racing. And then I like to stay with friends, with my boyfriend when I can. And I'm a normal girl.
Okay, great. And I have to ask you this. What is your favorite disco song?
Oh, I have many, but I like very much Jeff Mills in general.
Okay.
That is pretty hard. And I went to hear from Chris Liebing last week. So I like also the very hard house music and techno music and go to dance very strongly sometimes.
Great, great.
I've not a particular song now.
Okay, no worries. Okay, Michaela, thank you so much, and I hope we will chat again after you've won some races, both in GT and open wheel.
Yeah, for sure. I hope so. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, and ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Ciao.
Michaela, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Anyway, let's go right into the wrap-up. 2012 calendars, yes, we have them. Click on the merchandise page and we'll send it to you. We want to mention our Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter sites. Just do a search for us and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@f1weekly.com. Now, of course, Nasser, you are preparing to take flight. You will not be on the podcast next week.
And probably also not the following week.
Correct. Where are you going? What are you doing?
I am leaving on a jet plane, landing at Dallas International Airport, hooking up with my nephew, hopping on
Dallas, right? Not Dallas.
No, Dallas,
okay.
As in
just clearing it up.
You know, near Washington D.C., and then collecting my nephew. He's 15, and I'm going to take him to UK and Francia, And we're going to go with Mr. Brazier to the British Formula 3 season opener at Alton Park. We were at that race last year also. So this will be my nephew's first race, first outing in Europe. So he's excited. And I am really looking forward to meeting Mr. Carlos Sainz Jr., sitting down and having a chat, because this little kid is going far, far away.
Are you attending a GP2 race?
No, that would be a GP3 test day. And thanks to GP3 people, they have granted us media credential, which was a very pleasant surprise. So we're going to go there. And, you know, my friend Olivier Menu, who works for Nicola Tort, he will be also there because one of their clients is a very talented Finnish kid by the name of Aro Vainio. And we've done a digital dialogue with Aro previously, so we'll get to see him and talk to some other. There's also a kid, pretty talented, Tio Elinas, I believe. He's from Cyprus. So that, you know, the international mix in motor racing is ever expanding, which I enjoy very much. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what we can do. There is also, I'm coming back on Saturday, on 14th April, I believe. On that weekend, there is also a Formula 2 race at Silverstone, and the GP3 test is also at Silverstone. So we'll see what we can do, you know.
Nasser, keep up the good work. There'll be a little extra something in your check. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.